Millville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Time now for the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
Oh, happy after Thanksgiving Sunday. It's a beautiful day in the Music City. It's a gray day. It's not beautiful. All right. It's beautiful that we're alive and we're here, but it is happening now. We are on MSM right here on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm Zach Williams behind the board. Ray Dosky. We got to figure out that name, man. We're going to do that. Oh, but get in on the action, guys. Look, it's all fun. It's all fun fair. You know, I'm shaking off the cobwebs. I'm not going to lie, Ray. I'm shaking off cobwebs right now because, you know, it's been 4 days since I've been in the studio just in general. And I'm having to re kind of, tomorrow's Monday.
Yeah.
I'm not happy that tomorrow is, like, this is my job, right?
Right.
This is my work. But I, you know, there's something about doing your work. Like, I say this is a job. I love my career. I 100% do. And I'm very blessed that I love this. But when you go off a 4 day week, or a 4 day weekend, if you will, and it's just something about that Monday, and you're just, oh, it's Monday, you know? It's like, I don't want to be the Garfield cartoon, but that's what I feel like right now. So that's where I am. It just feels weird. Tomorrow's Monday and you get the Sunday scaries. You get the Sunday scaries, yeah. Real bad. Oh man, I used to do that in school all the time.
Like the 4 days went by fast.
It went by very fast. Yeah. 615-844-5600. That's the number you got to call if you want to get in on any question that you want inside of whatever sport, because like I said, it's been 4 days. And I feel like there is a plethora, to use an SAT word on you, a plethora of diverse content we could talk about right now. First off, how was everybody's Thanksgiving? Get on the Facebook, get on the Twitter, whatever it is, Nash Sports Radio, and you can comment in or anything. How was everybody's Thanksgiving? That I want to know that. Leave it in the comments. Give me a call in, whatever you want to do, 615-844-5600. Not gonna lie, Thanksgiving was pretty good. Pretty good around the old Williams household. Smoke Daddy. I'm gonna call myself Smoke Daddy now.
Smoke Daddy.
That's my new name, Smoke Daddy. I smoked a hell of a turkey. A hell of a turkey. Let me tell you this. I didn't even want to get into the specifics of this, but I got in on the turkey game, and I did it for my wife's family's Thanksgiving. And like, this isn't just, you know, if you're going to smoke a turkey, I'm going to do it right. I'm not just going to show up with a dry bird that I put together the day before. This turkey, it started last Friday. So 2 Fridays ago, I had to de-thaw the turkey. You have to de-thaw it a certain way. I set it in a brine for 3 days. And this brine, there's all kinds of crap in it to brine it. But if you don't know anything about smoking or making anything, a brine, when it comes to poultry, chef kiss, makes it perfect. He makes it juicy. Like, it's a guaranteed juicy bird every time when you use your brine. So that's just for everybody. But Smoke Daddy, me, we threw it on the smoker about Thanksgiving. This is a lot of people's Thanksgiving here, right? I'm a very white family. That's what I am. So our Thanksgiving's always at 1 o'clock. You know, we eat dinner. All right, everybody, it's 1 p.m. Let's eat dinner. So I had to get the turkey. You know, you can't just cook the turkey and go straight to eating. That's not what you do. So you got to give yourself like a 45-minute window to let that bird rest. That bird needs to take a little nap before you eat it. Got to reabsorb all the juices. Got to get everything going. So you start around 9 o'clock, get the smoke up, get it to temperature, roll it about 250 with some hickory chips. And then we got it out at about 12. Let it smoke for about three hours or so. Got it out about 12. Let it rest for almost an hour, actually. I almost did a full hour. But, man, that turkey was as good as any turkey. I mean, I'm talking about I'm separating the skin from the meat. I'm rubbing butter and seasoning all inside of the meat and everything. So that way even the skin and the meat are getting tenderized and getting flavors. Oh, man. You talk about the best after Thanksgiving sandwich, too. That's the key. Thanksgiving turkey's good on Thanksgiving. It is what it is. But it's the once it's set in the fridge with the leftovers and it's the next day and you want to add a little mayo, a little cheese on top of it, toast the bread up. Oh, son, I would not show up right now if there was still turkey in my house. I would be eating turkey. It was a good Thanksgiving. It was a good Thanksgiving. It was a lot of family, a lot of love, that sort of thing. I hope everybody else had a good one out there. Oh, but real world, man. You get into the real world. We had football games on Thanksgiving, obviously, which were good and bad, depending on which side you were rooting for. The Washington football team looks like a real team. I like their outlook. There's a lot of stuff happening there. We're going to talk a lot of football today, obviously. Not only because there's obviously Sunday football going on right now, but all the news that's coming out, all the COVID problems that are happening now that seem like it's put in hyperdrive almost to in the NFL that's causing it. So we put a question out that's through the entirety of the show. You can answer by calling in. You can answer by going on the Facebook Live, anything like that. This question is COVID ruining the NFL season? Is COVID ruining the NFL season? Because, yeah, the season's happening, right? It's happening. There's games. But you look at some of these teams. We're going to talk about the Broncos. Chris on Facebook already said Denver should have to forfeit and Derek Mason should be fired today. Wow. That was a lot. But Denver, their situation right now, we're going to talk about that. Quarterbackless situation they have there. You look at the Ravens right now, Steelers game, which, yes, it's set for Tuesday, but it's very much up in the air. We're going to talk all about that. So if you have any thoughts on what COVID's doing right now, and be open with your thoughts. Look, this isn't a place where I'm going to shame you for some certain thought that you have about it. If you actually have a thought that you want to call in on or you want to comment on, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it a little bit. Before we get into any NFL talk, though, there was a fight. There was a fight this weekend. There was actually two fights. You know, usually I say there's a fight, and that means there was a UFC card or a pay-per-view or something like that I really wanted to watch. We don't really bring up a lot of boxing. I think the last time we talked to any boxing was the Tyson and Deontay Wilder fight, which was a long time ago, it seems like now. That was last December?
Yeah,
I think that was last December. Good Lord, that was almost a year ago. That's crazy to think that was a year ago. But anyway, sticking with Tyson, there was Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. And did anybody, I want to know first off, anybody watching, anybody that's going to call in, did you buy the fight? I'm not going to ask any other questions besides did you purchase your fight with hard-earned money that you work day in, day out with? Did you spend the $50 on Triller? Which, by the way, that took me like 5 days to figure out. Like, okay, it's on Triller, but you don't download the Triller app because the Triller app is a social media platform.
Yeah, it's confusing.
That was really confusing on how that was set up. But did you buy this fight? Now, the second question is, did you enjoy this fight? Because, not going to lie, there was only two fights that I cared about on. There was everything underneath, all the undercard, because technically the undercard was everything underneath the Tyson-Roy Jones Jr. fight. Mm-hmm. All of that was undercard, which seemed a little, I don't know, that seemed like they kind of got you. You know, you were like, all right, here's the fight. I bought it, but I watched the end of the Badu and I forget who he fought. And then I watched the Jake Paul, Nate Robinson, because that one just, if you remember, a year and a half ago when this all kind of started, it was Jake Paul supposed to fight Antonio Brown. Because this is when Antonio Brown was in all of his problems, and he was possibly going to take this fight. Then Antonio Brown was like, look, I want to get back in the NFL and actually do something with my life, and kind of cleaned everything up. And now he's back in the NFL. But the Jake Paul and Nate Robinson fight, Jake Paul, I'm not going to say he looked good. I'm going to say Nate Robinson is not a boxer. Definitely a basketball player. Look, this was my thought before that fight. This was my thought. My thought was, we're taking a world-class athlete, which Nate Robinson is. Nate Robinson played basketball in the NBA, and he is a small man to be playing in the NBA. And not only played in the NBA, was an all-star, a great player in the NBA, won a lot of things, did a lot of things, and then played a long career there. And I thought, athleticism-wise, there's no way, I mean, just staying around, I didn't think he was going to be this, like, I'm going to run forward and try to knock him out instantly. I did not think at all that was the game plan. But Nate Robinson wanted to do that. He wanted to be the head first. He looked sloppy. He looked terrible. They said he'd been training for 6 months. Didn't really look like it at all. I think you know a little bit about this, obviously, Ray. You train a hefty amount in just MMA, obviously, not just boxing. But you've heard this, right? The dump. Mm-hmm. Right, so this happens a lot in fighting, and so what that is there's the energy dump, and what it is, especially for new fighters, is it's that rush at the beginning. You feel all the excitement. The cameras are on you, the people are on you, and you know, in this case, there was millions of eyes on it because it was a pay-per-view buy that a lot of people were watching, and you kind of unleash too much too quickly. And that's what it seemed like Nate Robinson was doing. I don't know if we saw, I hate to say this, we're never going to see him fight again. I don't think.
I hope not.
But I think what we saw was the worst of what Nate Robinson can be in the boxing ring, because we didn't see the real level-headedness. Like, had he came out, been more controlled, stayed on the outside, you know, maybe we could see what happened and just work every other shot. Kind of, if he would have been playing defense instead of offense, I think he actually ends up winning. Because once again, I think if you go, what was it, an 8-round fight is what there was. If they go the full 8 rounds, athletic cardio wise, Nate Robinson is going to win that fight just staying up. But in the first round, you got Nate Robinson running at him with his arms out. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing there for him. And I'm no professional fighter. I can speak it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know that's not the job that they wanted him to do.
Yeah, I was waiting for his corner to say something. I was like, come on, like, what's going on here? Like,
I think it was almost too – it was just too quick. I mean, because did he even get to the second round? I don't think. I think it was all first round. And, well, this is my biggest problem with all of that, all the fight in general. That ref was not 10 counting.
No.
He got knocked down. He got up around the 9 mark, which normally in a fight, if the boxer is still trying to get up at 9, they don't just stop the count.
Yeah.
It was the second time, though, he got knocked down, and he straight up just, he was like, 8, and Nate Robinson's still on his knees, and then he just stopped counting, and Nate Robinson finally got up, and it was like, oh, well, they're trying to keep this going as long as they can, and then you have to see Nate Robinson get absolutely floored, and I'm not saying that that was their plan. They didn't want to have Nate Robinson asleep on the ground, but they definitely carried it over to that. That I don't know. I all of this seemed really weird.
After the second knockout and he got back up, he looked frustrated.
He looked very frustrated.
He looked frustrated, and I knew right then and there the fight was over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then he went in and then charged again. And Paul hit him with that overhand, and that was it.
Well, and let's not act like Jake Paul was throwing these like crisp throws. I think he only landed like 8 punches. Yeah. And the one that ended up knocking out Nate Robinson was an overhand, like you said, overhand right that was blindly thrown.
Yeah.
Which, if any real boxer saw that, takes a step back, comes back with an uppercut because his head's just over the, you know. So then Jake Paul's starting to say, oh, I want to take on Conor McGregor. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't want to fight somebody who their whole life they had to fight to grow up. Not this like millionaire playboy sitting on YouTube making money and then all of a sudden I want to be a boxer now and I'm going to get tatted up and everything, grow a beard and be a hard ass. So I would love somebody to come and be like, all right, I'll fight him. Like a real fight. Like just, you don't even need a real fight. You need like a new level pro to come in. That's all. Not even like somebody who's had like 15 fights at a pro level. That's who could come in now and just take on Jake Paul. He'll never do it because, you know, there's killers out there that nobody knows their names and never helps him anything. He wants somebody on the very top end of everything to make money. But he needs somebody just to come in and beat the hell, like a real boxer to come out and just beat the hell out of him.
What threw me off yesterday, they said, was Nate Robinson's pro debut. And I'm like,
I was like,
what?
Yeah. That was his first fight ever.
I was like, okay. I thought they go through the amateur and pro ranks, but I was like, I guess
no. This was
like, all right.
This was technically his pro fight,
yeah.
Which is once again, in boxing, in anything, never. That never is the first one, a co-main event on a huge card.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, and now we'll talk about the Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. fight. I feel bad for anybody who put money on anything. It was a spectacle.
Yeah.
That's what this all was. It was all supposed to be a spectacle. There really wasn't many actual ramifications. Some of the undercard fights, maybe those are guys who are moving up in the ranks. I don't know. I legitimately don't know any of those names. That's boxing's fault. Mm-hmm. We go over to the UFC. I know a lot of those undercard guys because the UFC's done a good job of, you know, promoting them as well on top of their big client or big names. But the Mike Tyson Roy Jones fight, first off, that was just what it was. You know, it was a hard sparring match, all this different stuff. They clearly weren't going to hit heads. They were trying really hard not to make sure there was no headshots out there. What can you do? Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Tyson had a couple shots where it was like, okay, he could drop Roy Jones right now. He was doing the whole body hook to the body, and then the uppercut was coming, but you could tell him pulled the upper. He was pulling the uppercut back. Like, there was the flashes of Mike Tyson out there. But it didn't matter because the WBC did an unofficial card scoring and it ended up being a draw. There's no way in hell that fight, if it's a real fight and a real 8-round draw, there's no way that was a draw. Clearly, Mike Tyson outclassed Roy Jones, but they weren't going to say, they're not, either of these guys have legacies. They don't want to hurt any of them. Had it been the other way and Roy Jones just outclassed Mike Tyson, it still would have been a draw.
Yeah.
So, this is my problem with the Jake Paul and what I talked about with the ref, and then obviously this weird thing. They set this up to look like a real, actual boxing card, and it wasn't. I hate to tell everybody, this was not that. This was a money grab set up from the very get-go. There was no ramifications of anything that were going on here. There was no real side effects. Maybe something, like I said, maybe the undercard that nobody cares about, those could have been real rankings that came out. But those two fights that ended the main card, this was a get your money. And DraftKings was, you know, they were a big sponsor of this event. They were running actual odds. You could bet on these fights. Well, I saw, and the, you know, not only could you bet on them, they were showing on the bottom graphic, like, a bettor in blah, blah, blah just put up $2,500 on Tyson to win by KO, TKO. Well, that didn't happen because it was a draw, because it wasn't an actual fight. So how much money did DraftKings make of people going in and putting their money on bets saying that this is an actual fight? That was my biggest problem with all that, because it just seemed like they were I don't know if DraftKings even knew that it was going to be like this. I wonder if DraftKings Laduna was like, okay, we're going to put betting odds on this. But Triller and everybody on the backside was like, this isn't, you know, we know how these fights are going to end. I would not be surprised if something comes out of this. I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing about some inside news popping out saying that this fight was, you know, rigged. This fight was set up. We always knew this. I wouldn't be surprised, because there was a lot of unhappy people. There was also a lot of happy people. They got to see Tyson out there and fight. I mean, it's 2020 and we're watching a Mike Tyson fight. And Mike Tyson looked good.
Yeah.
It looked like him and Roy Jones were actually going at it from body shots only, but Mike Tyson looked like his head movement was solid. His angles. I mean, his feet looked he was a little flat footed, but I mean, also he's 54. It's been 15 years since he fought. I mean, there's a lot of things, but he was still coming in. He was doing he was shucking and jiving like he would. He still looked good. He was throwing the hips around he gets around on punches. Like, he looked like Mike Tyson, but it just, you kind of wonder if this, and they kept talking about it afterwards, because they did this weird, like, anybody else notice this? The ref was going to pick a winner, but then they went into like an ad break or something, and they had to bring somebody else out to talk and do like an interview afterwards. That was really weird. Also, the music. I don't need any of the damn music. Can we just do the fights? Like, I don't need whoever. Like, the Snoop Dogg segment was fine.
He saved the entire, like, music
performance
last night.
I mean, I saw my buddy Jordan on Facebook. He's with CBS. I can't spell your last name. I can't say your last name, man. You know that. Danji. I think it's Danji. But he put on Twitter last night that I'm listening to Wiz Khalifa sing Black and Yellow waiting for a Mike Tyson fight. I don't know what year it is. I thought that was one of the best tweets last night. But, I mean, overall, Look, if you paid $50, you got a spectacle. If you bet on it, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have bet on anything. You shouldn't have put any money on this. You should never have done this. It was weird from the get-go. It was branded as a real fight. It wasn't a real fight. I hate to tell you. It was fun to just see Tyson go out there and be Tyson, which, by the way, he looked, I couldn't tell if he was scared or focused. At the beginning of that fight,
he said he was scared. He said he was scared at first.
It looked like he looked legitimately terrified. Yeah. But like there was also that side. It's like, okay, is he just really focused? I don't know. I don't know what he's, you know, like the. But yeah, and I thought we talked about off air. But at the end of that, when they were doing their interviews, they kept. I forget who it was that asked Roy Jones Jr. said, like, were you afraid of getting hurt? Were you? And Tyson yelled out from the back. Everybody was talking about him getting hurt. What about me? I could have got hurt. I was scared out there. I didn't box in 15 years. This guy boxed 3 years ago. Yeah. I thought that was funny. But yeah, Roy Jones looked terrible.
Like, especially the first four rounds. It was just like
that, he was gassed.
Yeah.
He was gassed.
That no look jab. And then he's out. I'm like, all right. It looks like he was just trying to keep Tyson at a distance and just kind of circle the ring a little bit.
Yeah, and he was, yeah. But I will say Snoop Dogg made it really fun, just his commenting. So yeah. It's like my two uncles up there fighting at a barbecue. So my grandma, come over here and stop the fighting again. That was hilarious. That was absolutely hilarious. Chris on Facebook says, Nate Robinson is still sleeping. Yeah, he probably is. I feel bad for him, man. He was bleeding at the mouth, and he didn't need to take all that punishment. They could have ended that fight much earlier. But, yeah, you know, you spent your money. You watched it. That's fine. Don't feel bad. I mean, would I say it was worth $50? Maybe not. A $25 pay-per-view would seem more fair for what we got. Yeah. But it was something to watch. You know, I mean, the UFC had a fight night, which had a headliner, Curtis Blaydes and Derek Lewis. They ended up not being able to fight because Curtis was tested positive for COVID, like everybody else in the sporting world, it seems like. So that one kind of sucked also. So, you know, it was something. It was something to do. It's something to talk about. It probably will never happen again. I don't expect. They kept asking, like, would you do it again? Would you do it again? And the way Tyson talked about it, he would never. And then, you know, Roy Jones, like, oh, if Pensacola wants me to do it, like, what the hell, man? Like, the whole city going to vote on you to do it? No, you're not going to do it again. You know, you look terrible. And I don't know how much they got paid or if they even got paid at all. I assume they got paid something. I did like Roy Jones' gloves, though. The Kobe Bryant gloves. Yeah. Those are pretty dope. I'm not going to lie. It was good too. It was weird because, you know, they're in the Staples Center and it looks like they're in like a back room of the Staples Center. Yeah. Like it wasn't inside the, and how, like, I'm trying to think right now, these ceilings, like if we stood up in here in the studio, what is it? Like 9 foot ceilings, maybe? We could probably say 9 foot ceilings.
Yeah.
Why did it look like the ceiling was like legitimately, those lights were legitimately above their head? Like if somebody stuck their arms all the way up, they were going to touch the lights.
Yeah.
I kept getting worried that somebody was going to like go like, yeah, I won. And then hit like the light and it breaks and glass goes everywhere or something. That was weird last night too. So yeah, that was that. We'll get into football talk next. We're going to have to go into a break. But before we go into that break, you know, I got to talk to my friends over at Slim Chickens. I went to Slim Chickens on Thursday. Or no. It was Wednesday. Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And I went to Slim Chicken. I'm not going to lie. It was good. It was so good. I did not get, you hear me talk about their sauces, all these different stuff. I didn't get your regular, you know, chicken tenders or Slim's meals that they call them. I didn't get that. You know, I got their tender mac, which is macaroni and cheese, which if you haven't had their macaroni and cheese by itself, it's amazing. But their tender mac, it's macaroni and cheese and they crush up chicken tenders and they put it inside the macaroni and cheese, but I got their buffalo one and a little heat on it. Oh my goodness, it's literally just a meal by itself. We got macaroni and cheese and chicken tenders inside of it. Comes with two slices of toast. It garlic toast, by the way. Great. I was like enthralled. My wife took a bite of it and she thought that was like the best thing she ever had, which I had to walk away because I was like, I want the rest of this. You know, this is mine, honey. But it was so good. If you haven't been over there and tried their Tender Mac yet on a cold day like this, like, yeah, football game's coming up. You need to go try this Tender Mac. I'm not joking around. This stuff is really good. Go over to Slim Chickens. They got locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, as well as Hendersonville. Not only do they have the Tender Mac, they have their regular wings, and dry and wet sauces that you could put on them. Their desserts, their jar desserts, all their drinks, everything they have. It's a really good fast food experience. And you can order online. If you just go to slimchickens.com, you can put an order in and skip the line and get it early too. You gotta love that. You gotta love the convenience of what Slim Chickens does. Once again, locations Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Slim Chickens. We're gonna take a break back after this right here on MSM.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much until about a year ago, right about now. I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wines, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
At Slim Chickens, we're known for our 100% all-natural buffalo wings. Fresh, delicious, and fried to perfection. Now available in two new dry rub flavors. Our house favorite, Cayenne Ranch, blends cool with a kick of cayenne. And lemon pepper brings tangy zest and a punch of black pepper. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Here's a smart suggestion.
Check out the new and improved WNSR.com.
You're going to have to explain that.
It's the new and improved WNSR.com. With everything a sports fan needs.
We got a whole new attitude.
All the scores. All the highlights. All the updates. All the stories. And even the new website smell. From Nashville Sports Radio.
This is the most important religious event of our time.
You keep saying that, but you don't tell me how.
Log on to the new and improved WNSR.com.
MSM, Zach Williams, on the board, Dasky. Kiana on Facebook says, good morning, Zach. Hey, good morning to you, Kiana. How are you? Hope everything's good. Tell the video hi. On Facebook also, Dwayne on Facebook says, he answered the question we had, that is COVID ruining the NFL season. He says, yes. However, we have the power to get rid of COVID. Well, I don't know. I don't know any. I look. not doctor. Guy on mic. Not doctor. Okay, guy. But I do agree that it is also ruining the NFL season right now. We'll talk about that later. We're definitely going to talk about that here in a little bit. We got a phone call. We got two lines wide open. If you have any sports questions, whatever, it could be fantasy, it could be anything NFL related, whatever you want. You want to talk about the Tyson fight? Did you waste $50 on the Tyson fight? We can talk about that too. 615-844-5600 is the number. Let's go to David in Dallas. How you doing, David?
I'm doing all right, man. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'll do better if I can make the playoffs, man.
I think we all will. So what's up? I guess you got a fantasy question.
I do, man. I'm 7-4. Steelers and Ravens game is in the up. I'm looking for Antonio Brown or Cole Beasley in my slot, or Miles Sanders and Austin Eckler.
So Miles Sanders definitely over Austin Eckler. There's no way that we have – I don't have any faith in that Austin Eckler is going to come out and be the bell cow right away. It's his first game back. I don't trust that gaming situation. Miles Sanders is definitely the three-down back in Philly. He's got the Monday night game against a – for the most part, a bad Seahawks defense, even though we'll see if that's kind of changing as of late. Now, for your wide receiver question, Cole Beasley is really good. I don't want to diminish Cole Beasley here because he has been playing really good football, especially when John Brown is out for the Bills. And I believe John Brown is out this week as well with another – I know he's been hobbled basically all season.
He's on the IR list.
Right? Exactly. So, I was 100% right. Look, there's so many people that are out right now that I don't even know anymore. It seems like it's like I can't keep track of all of them. But with John Brown being out there, Cole Beasley has a good chance. I'm going to say Antonio Brown, though. I think Antonio Brown has a better day, and it's just because of the game script. The game script means Tampa Bay is going to have to be throwing the ball to keep up with the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a really fun game, or it's going to be a really lopsided game. Either way, Antonio Brown's going to have targets. And there's one thing that's remained steady for the Buccaneers so far is that they are getting Antonio Brown more and more involved every week. I think he led in targets last week as well.
Yeah, so, I noticed that.
Yeah, Antonio Brown is a solid, solid play. I don't think Cole Beasley's a bad play. I just think I like Antonio Brown's a little bit more than I like Cole Beasley. Both games, though, are going to be a lot of points. Yeah. Both games are going to be a lot of points, so don't get me wrong here. Cole Beasley could also have a good day, and he could have a better day than Antonio Brown because he could score a 10-yard touchdown or something like that. But I'm taking the talent and the better game script for the Bucs than I am with the Bills.
Fair enough, man. I like it. I just switched my lineup. I'm ready to rock and roll. I woke up. And when you think about it too much, man, you just switch bad players in. But
yep.
I'm just going to rock out with what you got, man. I got Antonio Brown and Miles Sanders. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. Hey, man, David, I appreciate you calling in, buddy. Call us in next week.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah,
good luck.
All right, take care.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I get that feeling every week where I'm like, okay, this is, it's my job. So I talk about it, and I look at it, and I see it, and I'd say definitively right off the bat, I'm like, all right, this is a good play. This is who I want to play. And then I go, well, wait. And then I start saying, well, this person's a good play. Sometimes you just have to go with your absolute gut instinct on all your fantasy plays. But we'll be doing fantasy roundup later on in the show where we will get into all fantasy talk. And remember, if you have a question, anything like that, we'll go ahead and answer it. I don't want to leave anybody out because I know everybody's got a schedule out here in life. What I want to get into now is the prudent game that we're going to have, obviously, today here in Nashville. And that's the Titans versus the Colts, which, honestly, I get there's the Ravens and Steelers happening, but this might be the biggest game this week. It may not be the absolute sexiest game because people want to see the Ravens and Steelers go at it, even though the Ravens basically have nobody. But this game can decide the AFC South. And that right there already scares me. That scares me a lot for the Tennessee Titans because notoriously, I mean, if you've watched any of my stuff, listen to any of my stuff, you know what I've talked about so many times, and that's that the Titans lose in games that decide the AFC South. They've done this now for the past four years or so. This has been a really bad Tennessee Titans team for winning in clutch times. You go back just last season, right? Their run that they had, that first game against the Texans last year, was basically the game that decided the AFC South, and the Titans did not show up. You go to this season and the Colts on Thursday night, which right away it would have decided the AFC South, but it would have been a huge part of the AFC South AFC South competition. And the Titans didn't show up again, and they had special team issues. They weren't moving the ball down the field effectively. They weren't doing all these things that you kind of expected the Titans to do, or at least what we had seen them do so far through the season. So the game today, it is scary. It's in Indianapolis, right? The record for the Titans in Indianapolis in like the past 20 is terrible. It's not good at all. It's very scary. But if there is, I don't want to say the word positives, but there's definitely positives to be had about the Titans game. That is the fact that the Titans have majority of their players on. They've actually activated Brett Kern, so they have their punter back. They've done a lot. They got Christian Fulton back. I believe Kareem Moore or Ty Smith's going to be back as well. So that's good. They got players back. The other side of the ball is where the Titans are really getting a lot of benefit. DeForest Buckner is not going to be there. Huge piece in that middle of the defensive line for the Colts. That's going to open up holes for Derrick Henry, obviously. You have Jonathan Taylor, who's not going to be there. That's a huge loss for the Colts. And it helps the Titans scheme a little bit more, because the Colts have a crazy running back situation where they just figure out whoever has the hot hand, that's who they give the ball to. Last time the Titans played, it was Nyheim Hines. Now, just because Jonathan Taylor's gone, Nyheim Hines is still built. I talked about it the last time the Titans and Colts took on that Thursday night game. I talked about how they're right before the game, the worst nightmare should be Nyheim Hines, because he does everything that the Titans are bad at, which is he runs short routes on the underneath to the flats. That's where the Titans get absolutely demolished. Every single week, it's day in, day out, it doesn't matter. They just lose to either tight ends underneath, short crosser routes, or the running back coming out of the backfield. That's who they give up a lot of yards to. Well, the last time the Colts and Titans played each other, that was what it was. Nyheim Hines had a huge day. They couldn't stop on on third down, which has been a problem all season for this Tennessee Titans team. But it helps with the scheme, because now they really only have that. Jordan Wilkins can come in for the Colts, who's their other back, and he can be that one-yard guy, kind of what Jonathan Taylor was last time they played. He could be that short-range guy to come in and just get those easy carries. But Nyheim Hines is still there. The Titans still have to deal with him. And their best flat underneath coverage man, which, you know, that was the only player that was, it seemed like he was always in that right spot if they threw to his side of the field, was Jaylon Brown. He's not there. You don't have Jaylon Brown now if you're the Titans. He's out for the season. And that's a huge loss for the Titans. So just as much as the Colts have lost a lot, because they have on their defensive side, they've lost a lot on, you know, the Titans have lost just kind of equally things that can really be a big problem. Michael Pittman is going to be out there for the Colts, obviously. He had a good day last time against the Titans. T.Y. Hilton is out there, always going to be a threat against the Titans, has made a career of beating the Titans in the backfield. This game doesn't feel secure. It doesn't feel secure. I don't care how many players are out there for the Colts and or not out there for the Colts. The game doesn't feel safe to me. The Titans have to get back to their game that they play, which they did it against the Ravens. That's how they got, they were down 11 points to the Ravens, and they got back to their brand of football. Their brand of football is getting Derrick Henry the rock, let him get going. Sometimes it's going to be ugly. Sometimes it's going to be ugly. Derrick Henry's going to have 15 carries that are going to be for a yard, and you're going to be a little sad and nervous and scared if you're a Titans fan. But that is the Titans brand of football. You got it. They have to make sure that he's getting those carries over and over again to where he is starting to hurt that defense, because you saw it against the Ravens. He started getting those carries. He didn't blow up till the fourth quarter last week. He didn't look good until the fourth quarter. The reason why, he's hitting them so much. He's hitting them, and they're starting to get worn down. They're starting to get hurt. So with that in mind, you saw Derrick Henry come out, and what's he do? Has a huge fourth quarter, has a huge overtime game, wins the game for the Titans. That's what has to happen for the Titans against the Colts. I like Ryan Tannehill. He's a good quarterback. He's what the Titans need right now. He's not the focal point of this offense. I've been saying this for a year and a half now. I've been saying this for like 2 years. It's been Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is your focal point. That's who you need to pay attention to. Get him the ball as much as you can. Control the clock. Keep the ball on the ground. Pick up first downs on every third down. First play run, second play run, third play run. I'm fine with that if you're picking up first downs. That's what you need to do. That's what the Titans brand of football. If they're going to win this game, it has to be there. And we have to hope that Brett Kern is healthy and is going to come out, and special teams is good. Gostkowski has to make his field goals when the opportunity is there. I mean, there's a lot of pieces that need to, you know, we have question marks on. We just got to hope that they do it. We just got to hope that they do it. I think the Titans can. This is a winnable game for the Titans. It's scary. It's absolutely scary. If you're a Titans fan, you should be a little worried about this. But A.J. Brown, you know, let's go back to that last Titans game again. He dropped a 70-yard touchdown. A guarantee. I mean, it was uncontested. He just had to catch it and run. That was it. And he didn't. You know, that was a big momentum shift. He got down on himself. You know, A.J. Brown's got to make sure he's catching the balls that are thrown to him. Corey Davis needs to have a good day. Johnny Smith needs to get involved. Now, these are the things the Titans do. They just got to do it all together at the same time. That's been their problem. They've had some huge players miss and have off days, and they've had some non-essential players, I guess, if we want to use that term, where they've had great days, but they just can't mesh them all together in one. We got to see if they can do it today. And look, this is the other thing. They have to win this game. They cannot lose this game, go down four losses, and go down to, they don't get a head-to-head matchup anymore with the Colts on their records. Because if they do win, then they're head-to-head, they're tied, right? But the Titans have the advantage because they've beat the Jaguars. Colts lost to the Jaguars. So the divisional matchups become very important if the Titans win. You know, it's okay if they lost the first one. They got to win this one. You got to win this one. And I hate it that the Titans set themselves up to lose the home game and have to win on the road, but that's what they have to do. That's what they have to do. If they lose this, though, unless the NFL goes in and does the whole extra team again for the playoffs, I don't think the Titans make the playoffs. I don't think Titans get in the playoffs. This is crucial. It's time for the Titans to win the AFC South, not get in the wild card. It's time for them to win the AFC South. It has to happen today. The Tennessee Titans cannot lose in the AFC South anymore. You want to be the better team in the AFC South? Prove it. Prove it. It's time to step up. Vrabel, Robinson, all those players, Derrick Henry, Tannehill, Malcolm Butler, any of them, they got to step up. You want to be relevant? Great. Here's your opportunity. Win it. That's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. If you do that, then you're in a new era of Titans football. No more 9-7. Nobody, the fans don't want that here in Nashville. It's mediocre. It does nothing for this team. Who cares if you got to the AFC Championship last year? You won nothing last year. It was great. No one expected it. You were 2-6 at one point, and you worked your way back. Great. It looked good. You want to win and be relevant in Nashville? It's time to do this. It's time to win here. It's time to show that you can be a winning team. You have to do it today. You have to do it. This has been a long time coming. And, you know, once again, like I said, 4 years straight of 9-7 is not going to cut it in the NFL. It's not. And the Titans have to change that. They have to change that. You know, they all year, they tried to do all these different moves in the offseason, got rid of some crucial players on this Titans team, brought in Jadeveon Clowney, brought in Vic Beasley. How are those working out? It looks bad. You do all that, it looks bad, and you miss the playoffs? You don't win the AFC South? Somebody's getting fired. Somebody's getting fired. That, first off, Craig Aukerman should have been fired like three weeks ago. But this is, I mean, somebody's going to lose their job. There's just no way. Before we go into break, we got Jack in Massachusetts. Is that right?
Yep.
Hey, Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much, man. What do you got for me?
So, it's kind of off topic from the whole Titans talk, but
that's cool.
I had a fantasy football question for you.
Yeah, you're good, man. What's up?
So, I have both Justin Herbert and Josh Allen on my team. And, you know, it's hard to sit Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But Justin Herbert's been having a really, really good couple weeks recently. So I was wondering who you think I should start this week.
Oh, man. So the Chargers defense sucks. They've had so many injuries. They've had so many problems. Buffalo's defense isn't much better, but they are at least, you know, their unit is there.
Do you think it's a potential shootout?
I do think it's a shootout. Mm-hmm. I 100% think this game is going to be a shootout. There's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. That's hard. See, this is the hard thing. Who was the guy that called in a few weeks in a row that was like Kyler Murray or Josh Allen? And I got those right each week, even though it was kind of a toss-up. And so now Herbert's fine. Look, this is the real answer. Either one of them you play, they're going to get you points. I really believe it. But I'm going to err on the side of experience. I'm going to err on the side of better talent, I think, on the receiver position as well. And I'm going to err on the side of a worse defense. So I'm going to go Josh Allen just to give you a pick.
Right. Even
with John Brown out.
Yeah.
Beasley's
going to take
Beasley. That's what I was going to say. Corey Davis.
I got Beasley in another one of my leagues. I'm starting him at the flex.
Yeah, Beasley's solid. Stephon Diggs is going to get his. Yeah. That's just going to happen. And you know, Allen's always good for at least, you know, 40 yards on the ground and possibly a touchdown as well. So that's where you get that. And my thing with Herbert too is that at some point it's going to happen. The rookie's going to be the rookie. You know, he's not looked like a rookie. He's looked like Tom Brady. I think he's like shooting for like 45. I think his season, if he was playing 16 games the way he's playing, his pace is 4,500 yards and 37 touchdowns on the season. Like, that's not a rookie pace. That's, Patrick Mahomes did that in his second year, but this isn't normal. So at some point, it's going to happen. I don't know if it happens today, but there is that chance. So I like Josh Allen, the more consistent. Plus, they got to win. You know, they got to keep winning here. They don't have a guarantee that Miami's only one game behind, and Miami plays the Jets today. So if Buffalo loses and Miami wins, they're tied for first. So there, you know, there's a real race there in that division as well. So yeah, I'll go Allen.
You think the Patriots still got a chance at the division?
I do, just because
wild card.
Maybe a wild card, it's possible, but I think they still have a chance in the division. Like, you know, you look at Miami and where they are with Buffalo, like, these teams can lose. Buffalo does not have an easy schedule coming up either, by the way. They have a really tough, I mean, you talk fantasy-wise or just NFL, they have a pretty tough schedule coming up. So a lot of their wins are going to be really crucial wins against good teams. If I remember right, I believe New England has a pretty easy schedule coming up.
Top 10 or top 12 favorable schedule.
Yeah, so, they have a chance. If Cam Newton figures it out and they just keep winning on the ground like they do, then, they have 100% of chance.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Well, I don't. I don't like New England, but, I'll be fair. I get you from Massachusetts. You're calling. Look, you got to realize you're calling Nashville here, so.
Yeah.
Hey, but I appreciate the call in, Jack.
All right, thanks for the help.
Hey, man, give us a call in next week.
Yep.
Oh, Jack in Massachusetts, huh? We'll pin that one. We got to have a Massachusetts guy. I got a weatherman that's up there. He's a good friend on Twitter that we talk to every once in a while. So we can get some game updates from him as well. We got to go into the break. Before we go into the break, though, I got to talk to you about my friends over at F&M Bank. Go to myfmbank.com. Check out how F&M Bank is helping you right now. Helping you not only with your money, saving your money wisely, what they can do on their mortgage sides, all those different things, but also right now what they're doing COVID-wise to help you to stay safe and socially distance, all that different stuff. There's a lot of things going on. Check out myfmbank.com. You can go around and look at all the local branch locations, all those different things that are around the Middle Tennessee area. They have them all over the place right now, so you can go check those out. Make sure you're checking out F&M Bank. Look, I've talked about so many times. If there's one thing that you need to make sure you're doing wisely, that is managing your money. And F&M Bank has all the tools there for you. Once again, at myfmbank.com. We're going to go into a break, but remember, F&M Bank, your money, smart choice. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Back after this right here on MSN.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Slim Chickens is known for our 100% all-natural chicken tenders and perfectly fried wings, but our new dry-rub wings are where it's at. Available in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray, but get them while you can. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or picking it up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Julia, and Hendersonville.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. I'll have college football insights from the SEC to the Top 25, previews, interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. Brought to you by Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, real estate agent Richard Courtney with Frederick and Clark Realty, Praza Flooring, Casa of Nashville, and the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Every Saturday morning at 10 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Let's go right into the phone line. Got two lines open. Let's go to Michael back in Massachusetts. Another Massachusetts guy. We're getting popular up there. What's up, man?
Hello.
How you doing, buddy? What do you got for me?
I got a fantasy question.
Oh, I like it.
Would you go Derrick Henry, James Robinson, or would you go Davis?
Davis. Mike Davis, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Look. The more we get into the winter months, this is when Derrick Henry statistically for the past 2 years has gotten better and better and better every time. And this Titans team, I talked about it a lot earlier, that the Titans, you know, they have to rely on Derrick Henry to find a win against the Colts. That's just their bread and butter. They did it with the Ravens. It's ugly too. You have to understand, it's very ugly watching a Derrick Henry stat wise for a fantasy, because he really doesn't get going until the fourth quarter, because teams just, they get hit by him so much, and eventually they start wavering, and he just gets stronger. I don't understand it. But you have some good options. I like Robinson against Cleveland. It's not a game that Jacksonville exactly needs to win. They have Mike Glennon starting. That kind of scares me, even for Robinson. If you know, Cleveland feels like they can just stack the box, I don't know if Robinson is the talent to take on a full stack box over and over again. The Panthers, I'm trying to remember, who are the Panthers taking on this week?
They got Minnesota.
That's right. So Minnesota, once again, they have a lax defense. They can, you know, they can find success on the ground. But if I'm not going to say I trust Derrick, or I'm never going to say this, and I don't think anybody should. You should never say I'm going to trust Mike Davis over Derrick Henry. Like, it's just, Derrick Henry is the guy. He's, what, the number three back in all of fantasy football right now. He's leading everybody in yards. Derrick Henry is the guy, 100%. I'm especially at this point of the season, he has a tremendous, after this point, he has a tremendous schedule going in. He's got Green Bay, terrible run defense. He's got Detroit, terrible run defense. Like, there is some really good games here for Derrick Henry. I think this one's a good one as well, because you got to look at the Colts. They lost a lot of pieces on their defense. So, yeah, Derrick Henry. Long way to say Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry.
All Oh, I meant pick two.
Awesome.
Start.
Oh, you need two of them to start?
Yeah, I need
two. Oh, okay. So Derrick Henry. I'll go Derrick Henry and James Robinson. That's who I'll go. Okay. I thought you only needed one. Yeah, Derrick Henry and James Robinson. They're too consistent.
And I have another question.
All right.
With Julio out, would you go Juju or Devontae Parker?
Oh. Ryan Fitzpatrick's back in, and they're playing the Jets. I'm going Devontae Parker. He gives them a lot of chances to win, so I'm definitely going Devontae Parker on that. When Ryan Fitzpatrick's out there, he throws to his guys out there, and Devontae Parker's definitely one of them.
All right.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Give us a call in next week. Let us know how you did.
Yep.
All right, buddy. That's going to do it for the first hour. Second hour, we're going to actually get into real fantasy talk, not just sporadic fantasy talk. We'll do fantasy roundup. We'll have a lot more questions, and we're going to talk about the Denver situation. It's terrible there. But all in the second hour. Don't go anywhere right here on MSM. Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank. Your money.
Smart choice.
Slim Chickens is known for our 100% all-natural chicken tenders and perfectly fried wings, but our new dry-rub wings are where it's at. Available in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray, but hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Julia, and Hendersonville.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and this week features Chase Elliott running the Snowball Derby, Kyle Larson picking up win number 43, plus a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here. Oh, and happy Thanksgiving holiday this week.
Hi, this is Alex Bowman, and you're listening to the Final Lap.
Every single weekday, right here.
WPDQ.
Thanks, bro.
ABC News, I'm Yanni Han. Keep washing your hands, wearing masks, and maintaining social distance, says Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, who tells ABC's This Week, help is on the way.
We'll be having vaccines available for the higher priority people towards the middle and end of December and as we get into January and February. So everyone is totally empathetic about the fatigue that everyone is feeling.
Health experts are also warning of a new COVID surge in the weeks after Thanksgiving, as the country's airports expect more than 1 million travelers today, despite the CDC's advice not to travel. And in Pennsylvania, another Republican attempt at overturning presidential election results has failed. The state Supreme Court striking down a lawsuit to toss over 2 million ballots, saying the GOP failed to prove voter fraud on any single mail-in ballot. Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden expected to introduce members of his economic team this week. This is ABC News.
I'm one of thousands of women with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body.
I'm living in the moment and taking Ibrance palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy.
Be in your moment. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com.
Patients taking Ibrance can develop low white blood cell counts, which may cause serious infections that can lead to death. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs that can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to become pregnant. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Broadcasting live, high atop the Nashville Sports Radio Broadcasting Complex. Welcome back to the Millennial Sports Morning.
Millennials, who are they? What do they want?
With your host, Zach Williams. Get into the Millennial Sports Mornings now. 615-844-5600. Follow WNSR on Facebook and Twitter for the live stream.
Humans are disgusting.
Millennial Sports Mornings is brought to you by Slim Chickens, with locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Now, here's your host, Zach Williams.
Second hour, MSM right into it. I mean, full speed ahead. Before we go into Fantasy Roundup, because we're going to do that here in a second, I do want to talk about Vandy real quick. I wanted to bring that up. So Vanderbilt did something which was amazing. I love it. They end up, I've already forgot her name, but they had the first female athlete in the SEC, I believe. And I believe in Division I football. I could be wrong. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I wanted to talk about it. I gotta figure out her name. Sarah Fuller. That's what it was. I knew I had it. I had it, and then I lost it instantly. So she made the second half kickoff, and it was a directional kick. First off, I love that she was out there. It's great. The play like a girl, it's great. It really should. There are female athletes out there that can compete with the boys, and I'm all for it. I'm all for it. If they're able to, right? Don't just throw people out there to get hurt. I'm not on that board, but if she's a great soccer player, and Vanderbilt finally had something that they haven't had ever. They had a national championship winner on their team. They actually had a national championship winner on the Vandy football team. She is the first national championship winner ever to play Vanderbilt football. That is the first one ever happened. So that's good for Vanderbilt in that sense. My problem with it is, though, they made her come out and kick in second half. I understand they never had a chance for a field goal. The team played like crap yesterday. I'm very surprised they played that bad. Ken Seals, I don't know what happened with him. It's still Vanderbilt at the end of the day. But they make her come out and have a directional kick, basically a squib kick. And it was exactly where it needed to be. She put it right on the dot. My problem is this. If you're not a football mindset, if you don't really know what's going on, if you don't really watch football, whatever, you don't know what a directional kick is. You may not know what a squib kick is. You don't understand the subtle nuances of a game, whether, any sport, right? It looks like she made a terrible kick. it looked like she barely could get the ball forward. That's not what happened. You had somebody holding the ball because there was wind, but it looked terrible. I don't know why Vanderbilt set this up for her to look bad. If you know football, it looked great because she did what she was supposed to do. She kicked it right to the right spot. If you look at it and everything, even the coverage team, they all moved to that spot. That's where they were all going before she ever even got the ball to the foot. But if you're Vanderbilt, let her come out and boot one. Let her come out and show the leg that she probably does have. We don't know, right? The public doesn't know. We don't know what kind of leg she has because Vanderbilt didn't give her a chance to show it. And that's my biggest problem with this. It's great that it happened. She made history. I love it. And I'm a big fan of this. I hope she continues to play each week, which I think she will. And goes forward. I don't know if she's a senior or not. I don't know too much about her. But, you know, first woman to play in Power 5 football. That's amazing. You know, somebody that really now, you know, young girls can have a role model looking forward to, look up to. And who knows, she could be in the NFL one day. And that would be terrific. But, like, if give her a chance to kick the ball. Give her a chance to really do something. That was my problem with it. My problem was that it just seemed like they gave her something to make, it made her look bad. It made her look bad. That's just me. That's just me. I could be wrong. I could be dead wrong. And this could be not a great way to say it, but the kick, if you're just watching football, if you're a casual football watcher, you're like, oh, she kicked terribly. She looked bad. I mean, if you're just a casual mindset, that's what your look was. Now, if you know the game and you trust the experts and all that, then you can say, okay, she did that on purpose. That was what the design was. But can we not give her a chance just to really knock one down the field, look like a normal kicker? Because, right, that's the goal for this, too. The goal isn't for her to be the outlier, even though she is. Like, there's no way she can. The goal is to be integrated to where it's normal, right? You want to be normal. Can we give her a chance to look like a normal kicker in football? That's my thought on it. I just want to throw my two cents out there. Well, now that I went on the rant about that and got that over, I think it's time that we hit the old dusty trail. Yeehaw! Howdy. Oh, you kicked it. You touched it twice. No, Ray!
Yeehaw! Howdy, partner. Time to saddle up for Fantasy Roundup.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Oh, I thought he did it. I thought you did it right. I thought it was all set. You touched it twice. You hit it once, it starts. You hit it twice, it fades. You hit it three times, it stops. Oh, Ray. Ray! We're in it. Fantasy Roundup. Any fantasy football questions you have, leave them in the Facebook comments. Or you can call in. 615-844-5600 is the number. Right? Yeah, 844-5600. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got two lines open right now, so if you have fantasy questions, anything like that, go ahead and get in on the phone lines, and we'll get in there. We got two spots for you, so we'll get you in pretty quick. Pretty quick. Bob in Bellevue. Bob, what's going on, man?
Hey, man, two teams. One is still alive, probably won't do anything, so my only question is, would you play Drake or Mostert?
That's hard. Look, Mostert has done a good job about coming back and being able to be a viable fantasy football player.
He's playing the Rams. Go ahead.
But he's been viable coming off his injuries and then playing right away and you know, scoring. So I like Mostert. I think he's one of the better backs in the league. It's just we haven't really been able to see it at a consistent level. I think he was set to have a huge season this year. If he just, you know, if he was able to stay healthy, it would have been great. Who was the other one again?
It's either Kenyon Drake or Mostert.
Kenyon Drake, yeah. And the Cardinals are playing New England.
Yeah, Kenyon has been better lately. He's had a couple of good games, so.
My problem with Kenyon is that it's very by committee. You know, as much as he's getting touches, it's Chase Edmonds on the other side also getting equal touches. So the points get a little spread out too much for my liking with Kenyon Drake. He has played better. I will say this is a real toss up. I'm not going to lie. I don't feel confident in either one of them being better than the other one. Even though somebody it's going to happen.
A couple of things with Mostert. Maybe he's not completely healthy and maybe they're going to bring him along slowly. And the 49ers, when Mostert is not there, the 49ers has been a committee. They'll just play whoever. You never know who's going to play. I think I'm going to leave Drake in, but I can see your point. I know who the better player is. It's Mostert coming back off injury. All right, let's go to the team that matters. I'm 7-4. I'm in second place. If I can win one of the next three, I'm in the playoffs. So I've
good.
I've got Herbert, Cook, Gallman. I'm going to have to play Chris Godwin in place of Thielen. I'm hoping Deontay Johnson plays on Tuesday night. I got Jonnu Smith, and I'm going to play Hines in place of Taylor. On my bench, I have Gordon and Bernard. Would Gordon and Bernard crack that starting lineup I just gave you?
Deontay Johnson, and this is going to be a widespread thing for Steelers and Ravens, what I'm about to say. Yeah. I am not confident in playing either of them. I'm not confident of having them in my starting lineup. I do not think that game's going to play. I do not think. I know it's Tuesday, and there's still time, but every day, and it seems like even today, every hour, there's been another person. Mark Andrews just recently, he tested positive, so the Ravens are down that player as well. I think they're going to not be there. My reason why not putting them in your starting lineup is you have no pivot option. On Tuesday, when they're supposed to play, if the game gets canceled, you're out, and you could have a goose sitting there. I'm not wanting to roll the risk of possibly having a goose because I'm going to not be able to change it out on Tuesday. So if you have a Monday night option, you can hold them in that starting spot if you have a Monday night option, and hopefully the news comes out before the Monday night game so that way you could make a change if you need to. But if you don't, I'm not rolling the dice on Deontay Johnson or Chris Claypool or whatever Ravens player still out there playing. I don't even know who's out now, but that's my worry on all of that game. I'm not saying, yeah, for sure they're playing Tuesday, because every day there's more and more players coming down with it on both sides of the ball, and they could easily push this game, even though that would be very hard for them to do.
What I was thinking was I'd keep him in, and I won't play anybody today in place of him. If they make the announcement tomorrow, then I'll just go in and pick up some receiver from that Philadelphia-Seattle game. Or I can put in Antonio Brown right now in place of Deontay Johnson.
Is that the one that you have Godwin as well in?
Yeah, Godwin is in. Godwin is in. But I'm going to be forced, if I don't have Deontay or Thielen, I'm going to have to play both Tampa receivers.
In this game against the Chiefs, I'm willing to do that. Reason why is they're gonna have to throw the ball to keep up with the Chiefs, right? So I could see Godwin and Evans having a big day. I could see Godwin and Brown. I could see Brown and Evans. You know, it's gonna be one of those. It's gonna be a mosh posh, but multiple receivers are gonna have to have good days today for the Bucs because they're playing against the Chiefs.
You know what they say, Brady never plays two bad games in a row. So after that horrible Saints game, he went to Carolina and threw four or five touchdown passes.
Yep. And the Chiefs are beatable. I mean, they're beatable over the air for sure.
Oh, the Chiefs defense. But now, as far as running back, obviously Cook, Gallman and Hines I have in right now because Taylor's hurt. Mm-hmm. Would you consider Gordon or Bernard in place of Gallman or Hines? I like what I've got. What do you think?
I love Gallman against the Bengals. They are beat up right now over in Cincinnati, all across the board. So I like Gallman. Gallman's looked really good too. When he runs for a purpose. Like it looks like he's trying to be Saquon Barkley. Like that's what it looks like when he's running the ball. So I like Gallman a lot. And then I like Hines.
Yeah, he is. Gallman is a Clemson player. So how can you go wrong? Right?
That's another show. Calling on that on Bill King for that one. The other one there, you got Hines. I mean, you saw what he did against Titans last time, and no JT out there. It's set up for him to do it again.
I think so. And as far as Deontay Johnson, if he gets a zero, I mean, that's just standard procedure for him. He's already got me two.
You have a real love-hate relationship with Deontay Johnson. He's lost you games. He's won you games.
if he's playing in the fourth quarter, I love him. If he's not, he probably got hurt in the first quarter and got me a zero. That's the way he rolls.
Oh, man, that's tough. Well, hey, I think, it's just not worth the risk playing any. I'm not playing any Steelers or Ravens players just because I don't know if they're for sure going to play.
All right, man. Appreciate your help.
Hey, Bob. Good luck, man. Going back to Raheem Mostert real quick, too. The 49ers, yes, they've he's coming off injury, and there's that worry that they don't end up using their running back. But in this season already, we've seen two times where Jeff Wilson came out of injury, came right back on the field, had a huge day. And they that happened again also with I'm forgetting who else.
Tevin Coleman.
No, it didn't happen with Tevin Coleman. He had a bad day. He ended up getting hurt again when he came back out. But they'll take their if they're coming off injury, they'll come on the field and Shanahan's not afraid to run the ball with the guy that he wants to run the ball with. He likes Mostert a lot, so don't be surprised if Mostert has a good day. Let's go back to the phone lines. If you got a question, remember, get in on the phone line, 615-844-5600, or you can leave them in the comment section on Facebook Live. Just search Nash Sports Radio on any of those if you're not able to call in. Let's go to Kayla in Madison. Kayla, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I just had a question about which running back I should choose. After listening, I do have Gallman Jr., but I also have Kareem Hunt. Mm. It's just the matchup level that I'm really considering who would do better.
Ooh, see, this is the thing. I think we all need to start thinking about Kareem Hunt differently because, yes, he's in a system where, you know, there's two running backs and they're focal point, but week in and week out, he's consistently top 20, top 15, and most of the time top 10 of a running back. So I like Kareem Hunt. So you're saying Gallman or Kareem Hunt? I'm against the Jacksonville defense. I'm willing to go Kareem Hunt. I think Kareem Hunt's a better player than Gallman. And Jacksonville's defense sucks also, but Cleveland's going to have to score some points, and they rely on Kareem Hunt a lot in that passing game. So if you're half-point PPR, PPR, whatever, you get a lot of plus sides with Kareem Hunt. So I like Kareem Hunt better than Gallman.
Gotcha. And then in my second league, I have nothing but Ravens and Steelers players, so I'm trying to trade out. But, yeah, I don't even know what question to ask you there. I don't even think I have enough players to trade out. So
yeah,
I'll just have to figure that one out on my own, if not just play some Steelers players.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're looking at it, who's on your waiver wire right now and who are the players in the position? So, you know, depending on, you know, majority of your starters on the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, the running backs, Gus Edwards, the only one that's playing, and then Mark Andrews is out. And it's just, you know, the list dwindles as it seems like we're going on with every hour here. But, you know, there are some waiver wire, even deep waiver wires that you could possibly pick up that, you know, might be viable plays this week. It just kind of depends on who all
like
is left.
Brian Hill or Jameson Crowder.
Hill.
Sterling Shepard. I mean, there's even Michael Pittman Jr. from Indy. I mean, he's probably going to have a good game today.
Yeah, there's a lot of deep pieces on it. Jordan Wilkins might still be out there. Yeah. A lot of people, you know, I would much rather have Jordan Wilkins and Gus Edwards just in general for this matchup. Yeah. But it just depends on who all you have out there.
It looks like I do have Jordan Wilkins available, but all the others that y'all are mentioning, it looks like they are not. This is just a deep league I have of 14 players.
So is Matt Breida? If Matt Breida's out there, I like Matt Breida this week going up against the Jets defense.
Is Beasley out there?
Beasley. You know, all these different names. There are some different pieces. Nelson Aguilar. If Nelson Aguilar is out there, I love
Mr. Touchdown.
He is against the Falcons defense? Yeah. Come on. That is a solid play if Nelson Aguilar's out there.
Aguilar, but he's Raiders.
Yeah. But, you know. Yeah.
Russell Gage, if he's out there, because Julio's out today.
Mm-hmm. So it just depends, you know, like, just, you know, don't be afraid of switching them out, because I understand there's some names that are out there. It's like, you know, you don't want to switch out Deontay Johnson, right? We talked about that so much. But if he doesn't play, it doesn't matter how good they are. Mm-hmm. If the game doesn't happen, you're getting zero. And you'd rather err on the side that you know somebody's for sure playing and can score you some points rather than somebody either have a huge day or a zero. You know, if that's the only options, then I'm scared to play that player.
Yeah. Well, it does look like the only players that you mentioned are Wilkins is available and Breida is available. The others, I would have to trade, so that's probably not a viable option.
Right.
Never mind, he's already played. I was like, Johnson's available, but he's already played.
Yeah. I like Matt Breida going up against the Jets. They're terrible. And they're, you know, once again, I talked about this earlier. Miami needs to, if they win this game and say the Bills lose, they're tied for first in their division. So there's a real, you know, competition. They're trying to still get into the playoffs right now. And Ryan Fitzpatrick being out there, I'll say this too, he's better for the Dolphins. It seems like he just has more, especially fantasy wise. He's much better for the Dolphins fantasy wise. So I like Matt Breida in that one. Willing to play, and Jordan Wilkins same way. You know, Jordan Wilkins he may not have the large amount of touches compared to what Nyheim Himes is going to have today, but he could definitely find a 1 or 2 yard touchdown on that goal line. They're going to use Wilkins over Hines.
Great.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kayla. Give us a call in next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Good luck. It's tough, though. I understand. I understand. There's so much. There's so much going on. And then you get the news, too, that today Jalen Hurts is getting first-team reps at the quarterback spot in practice for the Eagles, which we've all kind of wondered if that was going to start happening at some point because Carson Wentz looks absolutely poo-poo. And he, you know, that changes a lot for the that Eagles team. If they, you know, if you start saying, we have no idea if Travis Fulgham's going to get involved. We have no idea if all these different spots are going to really get involved. We're not sure. We don't know if Jalen Hurts goes out there. And that's a Monday night game. And look, if you follow me at all on any of this stuff, I love Monday night matchups. I think Monday night matchups are the exact way to go for all of this because they're just getting those extra points at the end. It just feels better. So yeah, that's my thought on that. That's just my thought on that. But I, you know, it, who knows? And then now you have the Lions. We didn't even talk about that. Matt Patricia's out and their GM's out, which that's crazy that it's happened. Had a feeling it was going to happen at some point. And I think a lot of Lions fans are out there and they're excited about that fact, but you know, it still is a scary fact. At all. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that Lions team. I don't know if we can start trusting them. Because look, Bill O'Brien gets fired, right? We look at the Detroit Lions, or sorry, the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien goes out. All of a sudden now the Texans team, they're kind of relevant again. You're seeing Deshaun Watson play better. You're seeing Brandon Cooks get the ball. You're seeing Will Fuller play better. You're seeing all these different pieces play better football. Now you look at the Lions, you wonder, okay, now Matt Patricia's gone. Are we going to see Stafford play better? Are we going to see Adrian Peterson play better? Is Kerryon Johnson going to get more and Swift going to get more involved? What's going to happen to that team as a whole? Because the real problem, Matt Patricia, right? He was a defensive guy. So their defense wasn't good there. That's a possible thought. I'm also hearing some scuttlebutt, some real tittle tattle about that, you know, 2021, Vrabel, Matt Patricia, both Patriot guys. Patricia could possibly be the defensive coordinator here in Nashville. That's a real possibility. I don't know if I like that, but Vrabel, once again, we already know Robinson and Vrabel, they're going to bring in the Patriot guys. That's what they know. They're going to do it time in and time out. They're going to consistently do it. We'll see. We got one line open right now, 615-844-5600. Michael and Darevon, we're going to be getting to you once we come out of the break. But before we go into that break, you know, we got to talk to our friends over at Radnor Wine and Spirits. Turner Johnson. Turner, what is going on, my man?
Oh, not much, Zach. Happy it's another Titans Sunday.
Another Titans Sunday, and it's a scary one, you know? This is a matchup that obviously we've already seen. It was the home game for the Titans just 17 days ago, right? And the Titans fell to the Colts in an ugly fashion. It seemed like their offense was actually playing good. It was just their special teams and defense couldn't get it together. What are you expecting in this matchup, Turner?
Well, this one reminds me a lot of last year in Indianapolis. You know, the Titans have a brutal loss to the Colts. I know it's much earlier in the season, different than the 17-day span that we're looking at now. But I think this coaching staff has shown that they can and will make adjustments, and they do a good job of implementing a game plan. For me, I'm looking at consistent play calling from Arthur Smith. I think at the end of that Baltimore game, he really was hitting his stride and mixing it well. I know there were a few times in the last game against the Colts that the Titans really felt like they could attack, and then it just felt like the play calling was clouded, and you know, it didn't make much sense to me watching. And I think we'll have a little bit more coherent, you know, game plan today. I think special teams will be all right. Brett Kern is back. I think the Titans are going to be ready to take on this challenge. And there's just something about being an underdog that gets the Titans going. It seems like every time the Titans are in this spot, they come and perform.
Well, you know, and I was talking about this earlier. This is the AFC South. They don't win it. They don't win the crucial games in the AFC South. And if they're going to change, if they're going to finally win in the AFC South and not be this 9-7 team that sneaks in with a wild card, this is the game.
Absolutely, this is the game. I mean, you know, 8-3 versus 7-4. You're in control of the division. You know, the end of the Titans season isn't a cakewalk by any means. You still got to go. You know, the Browns are coming to town. They're a good team. You got to go to Green Bay Sunday Night Football. That's a huge atmosphere. This team honestly hasn't, you know, played in since the AFC Championship game, or maybe the game in Baltimore last year in the playoffs. So this is a must-win game if the Titans want to have any chance of controlling the AFC South, because the Colts are hot, all right? And I don't see them cooling off anytime soon either.
Okay, so I want you to fill in the blank here. If the Titans are going to win, it's because of... Hold on, you cut in and out. You cut in and out right there. Well, so what was it?
The defense. I think, you know, we saw last week Malcolm Butler against Dez Bryant. He did a good job, but you're still seeing a lot of the cushion.
Oh, man.
I know that was one big thing in the first game against Indy was there's so much cushion, and these guys are able to get the ball and make moves. And the Colts have some guys with speed, so if the Titans can control Hines out of the backfield and can keep an eye on and control either, Pittman or that massive tight end that they have, I think the Titans have a chance, but really the defense is going to have to play, have to have a good scheme and get some pressure on Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I mean, last time he just sat back and was able to dink and dunk his way all the way to the end zone. That was their essential game plan. They took a lot of time off the clock doing that. And, you know, you mentioned, too, Tony Romo was talking on that broadcast last week against the Ravens that what you're talking about, all that cushion, it ends up being a run play. You just say a throw to the left, yeah, and you get 4 or 5 yards, and it's just a quick run play. Even though it's a pass, it plays out like that. And the more they gave it to him, the more they're going to give. And that's that Titans secondary. Now, obviously, you have some pieces coming back for the Titans secondary, you know, Ty Smith and Christian Fulton, but we're now talking about a notorious backup coming back, and we have a rookie coming back. So we've still, you know, for the Titans, you don't know if it's a guarantee that the secondary is just going to look great.
Yeah, you really don't. And last week's probably good confidence against Lamar, but time and time again, Lamar has shown that he hasn't been fantastic at pushing the ball down the field. And Phillip Rivers is a tried and true NFL quarterback, has so much experience and poise that, you know, unless you can really get to him and make the windows small, he's going to hit the open guy.
Even though he throws the football and it looks like he's throwing a 10-pound sack of potatoes every time he's throwing it.
Seriously. I mean, it hurts my arm watching him throw.
So one thing that's not going to hurt Turner is for this holiday season, having the right gift. Tell him what Radnor Wine and Spirits has for people this holiday season.
Well, plain and simple, we have whatever you're looking for. If you've got a family member that loves a nice bottle of red wine, we've got it. Come talk to us. We'll help you find it. You've got somebody that loves bourbon. It's that season. We've got some great releases. I talked about the Maker's Mark barrel last week. One of my favorite picks that we've ever done. And it's not something that everybody would think about, but it's really a solid drink. You've got a bunch of great beer and just any other spirit that somebody would want. I know it's, you know, 3 days after thing, but we are very, very low on our Evan Williams eggnog, and we will not be getting any more. I remember this summer we ordered 10 cases, and that had to be done in July. And once it's gone, it's gone. So if you're somebody that likes Evan Williams eggnog, you'd like the pre-made eggnogs, come in. We've got that. Come in, talk to our staff if you have any questions. Super knowledgeable about everything that's in the store, super happy to help. And again, you know, come see us before we move, to, you know, 8th Avenue. This is the, you know, final days that we'll be at our location at 4685 Trousdale Drive, where we've been for 22 years. So come see us before we move. Come talk to Walt and any of our other knowledgeable staff. If you want to talk Titans, we can talk Titans too.
There you go. Turner. You're the man with the plan, my brother. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Zach. See you soon.
Radnor Wine and Spirits, located once again 4685 Trousdale Drive, for a short time. You got to make sure you're going to check them out before they get to their new location. I've been hearing a little bit about that new location. It's nice. It's bigger. It's a really good area that it's going to be in. Radnor Wine and Spirits, I'm telling you, it is a family feel. It's like walking into your living room. That's honestly what it felt like to me. And when Jonathan was here, he worked in a liquor store. We talked about this all the time, that, you know, knowledgeable staff really matters when you're going to buy something. I'm a novice when it comes to like good sipping whiskeys and that sort of thing. So I know I have to trust people like Red and Wine Spirits to make sure that I have the proper wine or proper spirit, whatever it is I'm trying to get. I need to make sure I got to trust the professionals. Radnor Wine and Spirits can do that. Once again, located at 4685, or go follow their Instagram at RadnorLiquors615, so that way you can stay up to date on all their releases that they have out, because some of these releases, they come and go really quick. Got to be a part of it. All right, we're going to get to Michael and Derevon when we get back after the break right here on MSM.
Does learning a language feel like this?
No habla español.
Hablo.
It's hablo?
Yes.
It's hablo.
Bom dia, like good day, good morning, I think.
I can say, je m'appelle David, but that's probably it.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
This year is my year to get fluent in Spanish, and Babbel is definitely going to help me do that. The app is so easy to use, and it's so practical. It helps you learn things that you will actually need.
Since my husband is from Guatemala, I'll apply what I've learned in Babbel to our real life situations.
I've tried other language learning apps and nothing really stuck. Babbel's been a complete game changer for me.
Hoy es miércoles y el clima está muy bueno afuera.
Estoy con fome. Yo no tomé café de mañana.
Je suis des États-Unis et du vient tout.
Babbel, language for life, celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. Just go to babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's babbel.com, babbel.com.
Slim Chicken's new dry rub wings are where it's at. Slim's perfectly fried wings in two flavors, House Cayenne Ranch Dry Rub that blends cool with a kick of cayenne, or Classic Lemon Pepper Dry Rub that brings a tangy zest. Try them as a meal or party tray, but get them while you can. Slim Chicken's new dry rub wings. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Julia, and Hendersonville, Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wines, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank. Your money.
Smart choice.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings, here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550-1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It works out the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
We got one line open real quick before we go in. I saw some questions on Facebook. Brock on Facebook asked T. Higgins, Mike Williams, or Tim Patrick. And he says, don't like Higgins with Burroughs, really between Williams and Patrick. Look, as much as you don't like T. Higgins without Burrow, you definitely don't like Tim Patrick without any quarterback because they are starting a practice squad wide receiver who was a quarterback at Wake Forest for three seasons until he transferred over to being a wide receiver inside of his college career. So I'm staying away from any Bengals players this week. We're going to find out about the Bengals side. We're going to find out what they have. I'm not trusting, you know, they're bringing up a practice squad guy over Ryan Finley to start. Brendan Allen will be coming in, and I'm not trusting that until we see what we have out of them. They have good, obviously the targets are good. AJ Green, Tyler Boyd, as well as T. Higgins. We know they're good players. Let's just wait and see what the Bengals have. I'm not dropping any of them. I'm keeping them on my bench. I'm benching all of them. That's what I'm doing this week. Broncos-wise, look, Tim Patrick's been great when he's got a quarterback out there. He's been probably one of the more undervalued wide receivers in all of fantasy football this year. He could easily have won you a lot of different games this season because he's been so consistently getting into the 20s. But I'm just as much as I'm talking about the Bengals, I ain't touching anybody over there in Denver, because I don't know what in the world's going to happen over there. We don't know if they're just going to run the ball every play. We don't know if they're actually going to throw. Who knows? So I'm definitely taking Mike Williams in that. And then Cody on Facebook asks, is there any potential dart throw could be better start than Clyde Edwards-Helaire versus Tampa Bay? I am not sure if there is. Clyde, he got it done last week against the Raiders. And I think they still use them. It's just, you know, you're going to have to deal with the games that Patrick Mahomes wants to throw down the field to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and all the other targets he has down there. And every once in a while, Clyde's going to get forgotten about, or Lev Bell's going to get the touchdown that week or something like that. But I still think that you have Clyde. You know, I could say if we're talking a real just dart throw against the wall, Matt Breida. I'm willing to play Matt Breida against the Jets. I'm willing to do that if you're really scared, but you got to listen to what you're saying. You're taking a Kansas City Chiefs player out of your roster and putting a Miami Dolphins running back. It feels gross.
You're loving Breida today.
I like Breida. I am feeling Breida. At some point, he is a good player. He is a really good player in the NFL. And at some point, he's going to have his game. He hasn't had it yet. And it's going to happen. And he's fully healthy now. And he's back. He doesn't have any worries. He's in for me. So if I'm picking that, if I want to throw a dart on the wall, I'll say that's probably your best bet, who's probably still on your waiver wire that you could pick up. And if you're really that worried about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You also asked, Cody asked, Robert Woods versus San Francisco or Devontae Parker versus the Jets. 100% Devontae Parker. I'm playing Devontae Parker. Richard Sherman is back this week against Rams, and he's probably going to see Robert Woods a little bit. But the Jets just suck on defense. And when Fitzpatrick is out there, he likes to throw to Devontae Parker. Devontae Parker is going to have a good day against the Jets. I really like Devontae Parker this week. So that's the Facebook questions. Remember, if you have any other questions, just get on the Facebook, just comment them in, and we will get to them. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Michael in Massachusetts. What's going on, man? Michael, you there, bud? I hear your phone.
Yeah.
Ah, there you are. Hey, buddy.
I got two questions.
All right.
The first one is, what are your predictions for the Giants and Bengals game, and what do you think about them?
For that game, my prediction is pain for the Bengals. That says pain, if I'm quoting Rocky III. I think the Bengals are going to look terrible, and I think Giants have a much better defense than people give them credit for, and Daniel Jones has been playing better football up here recently. Wayne Gallman looks good. Sterling Shepard's really starting to come back now. He's not hurt, and you still have Darius Slayton on the outside. Giants are a lot better team than they get credit for.
All right. I'm 11-0, and I'm in a really tough matchup for a league, and my options are Moore, Gordon, Bernard, and Landry.
Is this PPR?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Landry. I'm willing to go out Landry taking on Jacksonville. He's a solid play, and, you know, this is the thing. It's really strange. Baker, you know, recently he hasn't had, good weather games. Like his weather games, his games have been really bad with weather. So the stats look worse because he's throwing into like 30 mile an hour winds. I think this week he has a good weather game. And he is, you know, they're playing the Jacksonville team. The Browns still need to win, so they're going to be playing hard right now, even though they're playing a 1-9 team or whatever they are right now. So I like Landry. I think Landry is going to have a good game today.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely, man. So that's a tough one though. That's a tough one. You never know. You never know.
Tough match. He's 11-0.
Bengals are going to get the crap kicked out. Yeah, I'm fully on that board. If they win this game, I'm not going to lie. I'll be very surprised. It will show that the Giants really do suck. Like that's what it would show. Let's go to Darvon in Nashville. What's going on, man? Did I get your name right?
How's it going?
Good. Is it Darvon? I always say it wrong, I feel like.
Darvon.
Well, there's a different pronunciation. I feel like Darvon is just like the easiest way to go about it.
How do you like it pronounced?
It's Darvon, but...
Darvon?
Darvon.
Okay, I'm going to remember that.
All right. So I got a question on my flex. I'm in a little predicament.
Okay.
I don't know if I should start Myers, Melvin Gordon, or Kurt.
Oh man, everybody has Melvin Gordon today. That's what it seems like.
It might be a hot play. I think it might be a wildcat type like scenario with Hinton at quarterback.
This is my thing. I don't trust it. They're going to have to rely on the running game, so I understand the worry about Gordon or maybe like the hope on Gordon, but I just don't trust anything because we have no clue what's happening up there. They're having to relearn a completely new offense. That's what I'm thinking. When I'm hearing that their quarterback, what's his name? Hinton or Hindle or something like
Hinton,
that. He just threw the ball for the first time 3 days ago. So that means that they're definitely not running their normal passing plays. They're going to be having to do a whole new offense, and I don't know if that's good or bad. So I'm sitting back and waiting on that. I'm scared to play Gordon on that side of it. Who are your other options that you had?
I got Jacoby Myers and Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk, he's kind of gone onto my blacklist. I'm not going to lie, because he had some humongous games, and then I finally started to play him, and he just flies off the handle and looks terrible. So I like the matchup against New England, because you know DeAndre Hopkins is going to be on Gilmore. That goes back to college, by the way. They used to play each other in college a lot. So when he was at Clemson, and then I forget where Gilmore was. I want to say it was like Wake Forest, maybe? I could be wrong. I don't know. Look that up. But we know Gilmore's going to be on Hopkins. That's going to be there. And if Gilmore does anything, he does shut out a lot of good receivers, and that leaves the secondary option open. I think Arizona's going to have to throw the ball. I'm willing to start Christian Kirk in this game, even though he's on my blacklist.
Okay. And then I got a little wild card too, because I've been like listening to you guys. You guys talking about Wilkins and Breida. They're available on my waiver wire, so I'm not sure if I should pick up either one of them to start as my bench.
Let me pose a question to you.
Go with his
own. Are you a gambling man? Do you like to shake the dice up and roll them?
Live on the edge a little bit?
Because if you do, I'm willing to start Breida. I'm telling you, there's something in the air for Breida today. It just feels right. It's against the Jets. We know they're bad. I just have a feeling this is going to be one of those games where Breida has like 58 yards and 2 touchdowns. One might be receiving, one might be on the ground. He's fully healthy. He hadn't been healthy all season. He's finally back to this team. They brought Breida in to be used. If you remember when he was with San Francisco, he had some humongous games in San Francisco. Now, that was also San Francisco, completely different system. But the Dolphins need to win, and they need to use their running back, and Breida's their guy. I have a lot of hope in Breida. So if you're feeling lucky, I'm not playing Breida at all. Let me get that out there as well. I'm not a gambling man. But if you're feeling lucky, I'm willing to roll Breida out there.
Breida bus coming through.
Breida, okay.
I'm willing
Appreciate
to do it, man.
Thank you.
Hey, buddy, we'll talk to you.
All right, take care.
All right, we got two phone lines open now, 615-844-5600. Let's go to Aiden in Southern California. What's going on, Aiden?
Hey, man. All right, this Tennessee Indy matchup, PPR league, am I starting Michael Pittman or am I starting AJ Brown at the flex this week?
Woo! Easy pick. Easy pick. You're calling a Nashville station. I'm going to give you the easy answer on this. It's Michael Pittman. You're starting Michael Pittman, and I'm going to tell you why. I love AJ Brown. I think AJ Brown will have a good day. He's a good running, or he's a great wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. He is a solid player to play anytime. The Titans secondary is absolute abysmal garbage trash. I am willing to go with Michael Pittman on a passing offense, especially when Jonathan Taylor not there. They're not going to be I mean, Jordan Wilkins is going to get some touches, but they're going to be using their pass of this. And they did this last time. I mean, you look at Phillip Rivers, he had over 300 yards, and Michael Pittman, I want to say, had over 100 yards, or he was just at 100 yards. I can't remember.
Right, like 101.
He had 101, that's right. So, I mean, they're going to use Michael Pittman. He's been getting more involved, actually, ever since that game. So I like Michael Pittman just because I know the Titans can't cover anybody in the secondary, and that's how they're going to get beat if they lose today.
All right, man.
That's a risky one, but look, I like A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, he's one of those weird players, too, that A.J. Brown is like, I can play A.J. Brown, and then just like last week, he has, like, no catches going into the fourth, and all of a sudden, he's running through the entire defense into the end zone, and you're like, well, I like A.J. Brown now. He's the number one option here in Tennessee, but if you remember, that's, once again, he had a 70-yard touchdown in his hands the last time they played. Yep. And then he dropped it, and they never went back to him. They maybe threw it to him like two more times after that. Corey Davis had the hot hand. So
exactly.
We'll see. I still think Pittman's a better play.
All right. Thank you, man.
Absolutely, man. Give us a call in next week.
All right.
Yeah, so, yeah. I know somebody here in Nashville just heard that and got pissed off.
Yep.
I know. The truth hurts, man. The truth hurts, but it's true. You know, that's... That's a it's a scary play. So but going back to Breida, if you're a gambler, if you want to roll the dice, you want to shake them bones, Breida, man, Breida
is. It's been so hard to like trust because
ever
the whole season. It's like you see like flashes and then he gets hurt.
Yeah, it's just gut feelings. This is a gut feeling on my end that I think Breida and. You know, still no Gaskin. You're going to have Ahmed out there. Or no, I believe he's out. So Ahmed's out. That's it. Oh, man. Yeah. Even more. I didn't even know that. Yeah. I was thinking Breida was just going to have a better day than that.
How did you do that? Yeah, he's out.
Look, I'm 100%. I might play Breida now on my team. Good Lord. You know what? If you do a DFS like FanDuel or something like that, Breida's probably a solid option to put in there. A cheap running back who's going to get the starting role today. What's the MetLife right now? So they're going to be in MetLife. It's 51 degrees. I'm trying to see all the weather that they have there. See if they have any rain or anything. No, they don't. It's just going to be nice. It's going to be a nice day there. So, yeah, Breida 100%. Breida 100% today. Oh, man. Somebody better remember this moment.
Make it easy because there's four games that are, like, in question right now.
Yeah.
You know, like with the Denver game. And
if you have James Conner, yeah. Not going to be able to play him. Yeah, Breida's a good replacement there. Brian Hill, we still haven't talked about that, but Brian Hill's a good replacement if he's out there. There's a lot of good plays out there. We need to go into the break. Before we go into that break, you know we got to talk about our friends over at Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. That's 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, just about a mile away or so from the Rivergate Mall area, if you know that area at all. Look. When you go car shopping, looking for a car, you need some different principles that you need to follow, okay, if you're a buyer. One, you need to have a good experience. You don't need somebody in there shoving a car down your throat, pushing you around to a different part of the lot. You need somebody that's going to be able to listen to you, and then you need to make sure you are shopping for a car not only to fit your personality, because it's an extension of you. So literally what you get inside of to drive yourself around, it's an extension of you. But you need somebody that's going to help you find a car, most importantly, in your budget. Nissan of Rivergate is going to do that. Go check out their website, nissanofrivergate.com. You go inside their website. You can look all over their lot right there virtually in the comfort of your home. You can even talk to somebody through the website, nissanofrivergate.com. You can see the full inventory of the lot, everything right there on the website. If you want to give them a call, you can at 615-541-4786. Again, that number is 615-541-4786. And that way you can talk to them, hear how personal they are. And I'm telling you, once again, they're located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. I say this in the commercial because it's true. I'm not just their spokesperson. I'm a customer. Every vehicle I've ever owned is from Nissan of Rivergate. They're going to lead you in the right path to a vehicle of your choice. Make sure you go check them out. Once again, nissanofrivergate.com. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website, virtualnashvilleflea.com, to get more details. And for more information, visit the website, thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 4685 Trousdale Drive in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquors615. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank. Your money.
Smart choice.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
...615-844-5600. Final segment. Then we're out the door. And your fantasy game is, you know, it is what it is. You're on your own at that point, kid.
Yep.
But, you know, this is a crazy week. I mean, I'll say this again. I don't feel confident at all with the Steelers and Ravens actually playing this week.
You think they're going to forfeit?
I don't know what they're going to do. I just don't think they can play. I mean, at some point, they're going to get to a point where they can't field 53 men. Like, I really think that's what's going to happen. They're going to be scrambling, trying to put people in. Because, you know, this is the problem the Broncos are in. And it's really unfair because the Broncos legitimately don't have a quarterback. And the NFL is saying, well, tough crap. Mm-hmm. You're playing. And that's just figured out. Mm-hmm. But plenty of other teams, Titans, they had this problem. They moved the game. Why can't we move the Broncos? How is this fair at all to the Broncos? It's not. What you're doing is you're clearly showing favoritism here. Broncos don't have a future in this season. They're not going to get into the playoffs. They're not a bad team. They have a future in coming years, but it seems like the NFL is just saying, well, we're dealing with this Steelers and Ravens game right now, and that's the only one that's getting moved. You know, the Broncos are in a situation because of the COVID protocols put forth by the NFL. They can't bring a quarterback in to play. Somebody who's clean, healthy, all this, because they need to wait 5 days until they are able to be activated on a roster. Well, there's not enough time. That's the NFL setting themselves up right here. This is the problem. The NFL had the most time out of any other sporting league to prepare for COVID-19. They got to watch the MLB go. They watched the NBA go. They watched the NHL go. MLS. They watched all of them go. And they did not do any planning in my eyes. It does not. They are shooting by the hip every week. How are you able to move the Steelers and Ravens matchup and not able to move this Broncos matchup at all? This is clearly unfair. It's clearly unfair. If you have the Saints defense, congratulations. You're going to have a big game. I really believe that. Which I do. I have the Saints defense. But it just doesn't seem fair. And, you know, I also want to give a little shout out to Eric Ebron, because Eric Ebron would get on Twitter after when the Titans game and Steelers game got moved, and he said, this is unfair. You know, we shouldn't have to be moved, but we'll play wherever. And then Eric Ebron comes out, and they had to move it from Thanksgiving, you know, and he said, we finally were going to have a break, and now we can't get a break because other teams can't keep their team right and keep off COVID. Well, then the Steelers started getting problems as well. Where you at, Eric? Where you at? Why are you not on Twitter now yelling at your own team that also has COVID problems? You understand this is your fault as well now? You're a part of this? It's not just everybody. It's not just other people. It doesn't happen in just Pittsburgh. I know we're about out of time here, but man, that really was getting under my gears about Eric Ebron getting on Twitter and complaining. He's also a part of the problem. You're a part of the problem as well, Eric. There you go. Your Steelers team is also hurting the NFL and hurting your break time. You might get a good break. You might not play at all this week. Enjoy that. Enjoy your second bye week. I really think it's going to happen. That's going to do it for us. Everybody have a great week. If nobody's told you, I will tell you. I love you. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week right here on National Sports Radio.